You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
It's Sal Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
Sal
Capaccio.
On WGR.
Mr. Sal Capaccio is joining us here. Hey, Sal. How are you? Oh, hold on. Put your mic on.
There we go. Hi, guys. How are you?
What's up, Sal? Good. Welcome welcome back. I was starting to call it week two. That might not be the right thing to do just because, whatever. We haven't been here for a full week, but either way.
It feels like we have.
Yeah.
Right, in a lot of ways.
Yeah. So you were here yesterday, practice yesterday, and then practice again today. And I you know what? I'll start with this because Joe had kind of asked, and I feel like early in the week you had said 5 days in is usually it. When is full pads? Is today maybe the day?
I was told last week it would be today.
Okay.
But maybe not.
Yeah,
you never know.
It could
change. Like official.
If they feel like, you know, they need one more day, then we'll go out there. But I was told – you could see just shoulder pads today.
Yeah, that was yesterday, right?
Shells yesterday.
Okay.
Really have shoulder pads.
Okay.
You could see just shoulder pads.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they did shells yesterday.
Okay.
I think they'll have pads on today. We'll see, though.
Yeah. It's always a good day, right? It's always a fun day. It's almost like I think the players say that. The first day of full pads feels like real football more than other days.
And I think it feels like, and we'll hear from Sean McDermott today at 9:15. And we always ask Sean about that. Like, hey, what's it like the first day of pads? And his response is generally the same every year, which is it doesn't matter how old you are, it doesn't matter how long you've been playing football, how long you've been in the league, It's always a special day. It doesn't matter if you're 9, 10 years old playing Pop Warner, or you're in ninth grade or a senior, and like you put the pads on, that's football, that's the day, here we go. Like you build up for that. Well, today's the day. If that indeed is the case, and they should, if they do put the pads on, that's that day that they're going to get those juices flowing.
Yeah. So yesterday, take us through yesterday's practice. It's among other things, we got injuries to kind of monitor. Terrell Bernard, Curtis Samuel, hamstring issues for them. Do we have an idea of timelines? Any idea of how that might look right now?
No timelines on Terrell Bernard or Curtis Samuel. Good news on Tyrell Shavers. That was the one that was really not great looking. It was like right in front of me towards the end of practice. In fact, it wound up being the last play of practice.
Yeah.
Tyrell Shavers catches a pass. Really kind of one-handed against Max Hairston. Hairston's right on him, still jostling, you know, for a step or two after the ball's caught, like, And as they kind of came to the ground together, you could immediately see Shavers roll. Something happened. He grabbed his right ankle. Like, oh, this is not good. Mm-hmm. He was in a lot of pain. Athletic trainers came out, tended to him, and then the cart came out. Later, Alina Getzenberg of ESPN reported low ankle sprain.
Yep.
Should be fine overall, right? Whatever that means. Does he practice today? I don't know. Like maybe, maybe not. We'll see. Caden Prather, 7th-round draft pick. I saw him go into the training tent with a pretty noticeable limp yesterday. He came out with a wrap on his left thigh. On the field, stayed on the field, did not take another rep. Dawson Knox was activated yesterday. That means he'll be ready to play today. I doubt he would put on pads right away, but you never know. But he'll be out. He was activated off the NFI. That's great news. Same thing with Laviska Shenault, who really needs to get on the field. I mean, Laviska Shenault needs to play, right, if he wants to make this team. He was activated off NFI yesterday. The guys you talked about, though, nothing. And then Elijah Moore, he did start practice. He left with general soreness, so I wouldn't.
Okay.
That shouldn't be too alarming. I think, obviously, today we'll be monitoring, you know, if Bernard is out there, if Samuel's out there, and who's the other one? Dorian Williams still hasn't practiced.
Okay.
Dorian Williams and Cedric Van Paren Granger are still on PUP list as well, but Dorian Williams still hasn't practiced after injuring his ankle, and it was a calf, I believe. I have to go back and look at that one because one was A.J. Epenesa and Dorian Williams both at the same time.
Okay. That
A.J. got back, though.
But that is in, like, one of them is Moore, who's just general soreness. But as we go through the injury cell, that's five wide receivers that we mentioned, right? Like, that's a good number of guys right now that are dealing with something.
Shavers, Samuel, Moore.
Yeah. Prather.
Prather. So four?
Maybe it's four.
So that's right. But you're right.
Did
no,
we say,
you're right.
We said Samuel. Samuel may be the only one, though, that I'm really – we'll see about Shavers. You know, if he's out here today, that would be nice because he's more on the bubble anyway. Samuel, Sal, like, that's the one I seen, like, man, already with the hamstring injury because last year it was a toe, very different. But he's had injuries throughout his career, and that's always kind of been the knock on him. And to see him a week in already have something to deal with, you know, again, hopefully it's not anything long term, but – this is just a player that there always seems to be something.
And then when he came back last year, even though he wasn't fully recovered from the toe pretty much all year, he then had a shoulder injury at some point.
Okay, right.
There was a play in a game, and I can't remember which game it was on the road, and he came down kind of hard on the shoulder.
The Jet game, maybe?
I think it was. It's a good
game,
memory.
Yeah.
I think it was. And then he showed up in the injury report with it, but it wasn't like something major, but it was something bothering him, right?
Right.
So you're right, Joe. I mean, this is a guy that – last year, you never saw fully what they wanted to do with him because they never had a chance to fully do with him because he couldn't be on the field. Listen, we go through this every year, right? This should be there's yearly PSAs I have to put out. And one of them is they're going to be cautious. Now, it doesn't mean that you shouldn't be concerned with sometimes guys get injured and guys have injuries they're dealing with. But they're going to be cautious with guys this time of year. So anything that they're dealing with, hey, we're going to give you a day off, going to give you a couple days off, whatever. The big thing is to get out of Fisher once they come out of here. Get out of Fisher after another week and a half or whatever with nothing major where we're talking about is his week one in question,
mm-hmm.
right?
Right?
I mean, I'm reading last night about Matthew Stafford. He should be available week one. I don't know that. I don't know what the real report is, but I'm reading stuff about people saying and Sean McVay mentioning. And when I hear week one and a coach talk about it at this time, it kind of puts my alarm bells up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, that's nothing we're talking about here. We're talking about here, okay, guys are out, and, you know, we'll see when they come back. We're going to be cautious with them.
Fair enough. Right. So, all right, yesterday's practice, one of the big stories of practice is Keon Coleman had a really nice performance, a couple of nice catches.
Yeah.
You know, as we're watching this this receiver group kind of come together, we're mentioning injuries to Samuel and Shavers there getting an opportunity to Elijah Moore. But Coleman out there quite a bit and some – really nice signs from him.
Yeah, I think he has had guys like a day to build on each day, Keon.
Mm-hmm.
And what's great about that is this is where he should really start to separate in more ways than one, right? This is where he should start to really click and shine, and you should notice him more today. Put the pads on. Joe Brady said it last week as much, and I agree. He basically said you can't judge Keon Coleman until pads come on. It's not his game. His game isn't out there in shorts and t-shirt. Yeah, you know, he can be a receiver and do a lot of great things. But really, it's when you become physical and guys want to put their hands on him and when he's running down the field with them and how physical he can be with them at the point of attack. I would say he has really built on and kind of taken a step up his trajectory each day. First day, we didn't talk at all about Keon Coleman. I don't think he was involved in the pass,
No. It
seemed like. Second day, very uneven. Oh, nice play. Oh, that one he should have had, right? Third day, he's starting to – now he's – you could see him. Like, he's a little more noticeable, right? And then yesterday I thought was, his best day. Like, he was starting to really – yesterday it seemed like Josh was finding him. He was in sync with Josh in rhythm. That's a lot of it, guys. I mean, him getting that chemistry with Josh Allen. And, you know, last year they didn't have as much time on task as you'd like because of the injury. And when he came back, it didn't go as great. The GM said it. Right? I mean, like, it didn't go as great. And I think that's the thing. He's got to get that timing with Josh. And I like the day he had yesterday for sure.
Do you feel like when you're watching him, he looks any different too with, you know, not with like maybe his physical build, but, you know, when he's coming in and out of a break, you know, in a route or after he catches the ball? Like, because that was the knock on him at the combine last year and coming out of school was, is there ever going to be the speed there? Although, I guess what I'm asking isn't really about speed. It's about change of direction, right? And we've known he could do that with the ball in his hand. I guess it's just wanting to see him do that when he's actually running the routes.
Yeah, I think, Joe, if I go back to OTAs and minicamp even, one of the things that, you know, I don't know if I can quantify it, but with the naked eye, it kind of looks like he's a little bit more in control sometimes.
Yeah.
Right? Like he's a little bit more
composed,
paying attention to detail at the top of the route, mm-hmm. on his cut. You know, he's not the fleetest of foot guy with his feet sometimes. You know that, right? When people say, oh, look at that. And like, that was the knock coming out of college, right? Mm-hmm. Look, you. There are guys, there are countless players in this league who are very fleet of foot, but if they can't make the right cut, mm-hmm. and they do it too quickly, you're not going to – he has to create with his body. Mm-hmm. He's not going to create with his feet separation. So I think for him, he has to be able to break down a little bit. He has to give a subtlety move. And all of a sudden, if you give him that little bit, now he has you know, kind of big boyed or bodied up, and you're like, okay, what do I do?
Right.
I think that's the evolution of his game. So I would say just off the naked eye, again, no way to quantify it. We can go back and we can watch and break down video and, mm-hmm. you know, look at each thing. I think he's a little more in control sometimes when I watch him.
Yeah. Sal, how about Josh Palmer? I mean, we've talked a lot of these receivers. How's Palmer looked so far through the first couple practices?
Yeah, I like that it seems to me like Josh and Josh are – really working on getting on the same page, right? That's kind of a theme here. You know, Josh Allen knows that he has when he's on the same page, him and Khalil Shakir kind of click, right? They always do. Which is kind of funny, actually, to be honest. Him and Shakir have had a couple pretty bad misses against air. You know what I mean? And each time I've seen twice this has happened. It happened again yesterday. Josh misses Khalil Shakir on a play, like there's no defender, you're just running a route. And they both are like, ah, oh, and Khalil comes back and they run it again.
Yeah.
Right? You know what I mean? It doesn't always happen with guys like that, but that's how those guys, they know they need to be on the same page and they should be on the same page.
It's funny because a miss against air is almost a better indicator about how precise a route should be or where.
Exactly right.
Because he's dropping back and he's throwing to a spot and you're not in that spot. Somebody was wrong about where that was supposed to be. So a miss there is not just always Josh missed a throw.
That's exactly right.
It's just, wait a minute. These are, you know, you're playing music together. You got to hit a note.
That's right. And yesterday, when I saw it happen, it was kind of like a, I'll get back to Josh Palmer in a second. So he runs like a little, he kind of comes towards the center. He runs like a little fade, like a little corner route, but he's looking over the inside shoulder. And Josh throws it, he throws it over his head. And, you know, you can see Josh go, like, he was mad. And him and Khalil, they kind of come together. You can see him talk for a second. They went back and they ran the route again.
Yeah.
And it wound up in sync. And that's exactly right. Like, hey, okay, now I got to read when you turn your shoulder, maybe when you take that second step, like that. I see Josh Palmer and Josh, to me, are working a lot on the timing of everything they're doing. Josh Palmer is a really fluid athlete. He's just a fluid athlete. When you watch him run, same thing with Elijah Moore. I watch Elijah Moore. Now, Elijah Moore, I think, is kind of like the antithesis of Keon. Right, he's smaller. His feet are always moving. His feet are moving. He's able to. That's how he separates from you, right? And I would put Josh Palmer in between those guys, to be quite honest with you. Like, he's just fluid. He's smooth. He knows how to run routes. I think he understands concepts, where guys are, body positioning. So, hey, it goes to, you need all these different kinds of guys. So I think you got your guys like Keon that I described. I think Elijah Moore's opposite and different. And that's, he's gonna win off the line. He's gonna win with his feet. He's fast. He's going to run by you a little bit. Mm-hmm. Josh Palmer's a little in between. He's going to beat you with a route, but it's not going to be because he's not running like Stevie Johnson. You know what I mean? Right. But he's going to reap because he understands how to run a route.
Right. Is there anything else on the offense that's worth pointing out here? I feel like the defense is obviously more interesting. It's receiver on offense. I saw you had some videos about the offensive line yesterday.
I did. I wanted to watch, and I always say I don't watch the line until the Pats come out. I mean, like, when they're going against 11-on-11.
Yeah.
What I do love to watch is Aaron Cromer coach. I mean, I'm a junkie for that stuff. I love watching Aaron Cromer coach. This guy, he is such a technician. He's such a teacher. And if you go down there, if you get a chance, go watch Aaron Cromer coach before practice, and how like he'll literally have two guys go and do something. He'll teach them the technique, and then right after it goes, he'll like tell them they did well, or he'll go right up to him, he'll show him what's going on, and then he turns around and tells everybody, "Did you see what happened here?" and all this. And I love that stuff. So I'm watching that. And then I watch him go to 11 on 11. I'm going to tell you.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover nature's best with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today.
Maybe every day is different. I think we have a good old-fashioned battle for the swing tackle job right now between Tylon Grable and Ryan Vandermark. Or maybe Tylon Grable is your swing tackle and Ryan Vandermark is, you know, basically your right tackle. I didn't really see him at left as much yesterday, but he is a swing tackle. So I would say I think that's something interesting to watch. So remember, that was Ryan Vandermark's job 2 years ago. They draft Tylon Grable. He is the one that's in that spot. Vandermark is a healthy scratch while Grable is the guy at the swing tackle on game day. Grable gets hurt. Vandermark retakes the job. Yeah. It's a nice problem to have, right? But I think we have a bit of a competition and battle going on there.
Switching to the defense, how are things going at safety? Rapp and Bishop look pretty firmly entrenched right now. Like those two are together a lot?
They are, and you know, guys know I've said it from day one. I mean, it's Taylor. It's Cole Bishop's job as long as he's healthy. If Cole Bishop stays healthy and he's not lining up against the Baltimore Ravens week one, something really went wrong.
Yeah,
simple as that. You know, we all remember we draft morning. We wake up, all these national guys are Malachi Starks. I couldn't make sense of it. No way. They love Cole Bishop. The only thing they need from Cole Bishop is stay healthy. And if he stays healthy, and he's not your starting safety, either he went drastically wrong what you thought about him, or you really misevaluated the guy. Because the plan is for Cole Bishop to be the starting safety on this team. He's a second-round pick. They've made an investment. The things that he can do are perfectly fit for a Sean McDermott defense. He has versatility. He can play down in the box. He can play center field. He's a physical guy. He's a little undersized to be as physical as he is, so you'll worry about wear and tear on the body. But, I mean, he came from a ready-made defense at Utah. Mm-hmm. And what did Dalton Kincaid say about him? Who, by the way, Dalton Kincaid had a really good day yesterday, too. What did Dalton Kincaid say about him? Like, oh, yeah, like he can cover tight ends. He covered me every day. Like, this guy is a perfect fit for Sean McDermott's defense. Mm-hmm. He just has to stay on the field and stay healthy. I think behind him there's some interesting battles going on. Preseason's going to tell us a lot. And I wouldn't count DeMar Hamlin out. I mean, I've been saying for a while I could see him not making the team. I still can. I think Derek Forrest is ahead of him. But DeMar gets his time out there, and he's made a couple plays. They signed Derek Forrest, I think, to a one-year deal. It's not a lot of money. I think they like Derek Forrest, what he brings to the table. So it should be interesting there. And then, of course, behind them, you still have the Cam Lewis, Jordan Hancock. Those guys play both nickel and safety. But, yeah, Jeremy, I mean, it is basically Cole Bishop, Taylor Rapp. Cole Bishop yesterday, there was a play, a very scary moment yesterday. Dalton Kincaid was on a pattern, like a kind of a corner, and the ball was coming down the sideline, so he stayed right in the sideline to catch it as it was coming down. Matt Milano's trailing, and I mean hustling back from his linebacker spot. Cole Bishop's coming over the top. Ooh. You had Bishop, Milano, and Kincaid all collide. I mean, it was
That's scary.
Three individuals. You want to see people.
Correct. Lie. Correct. Yeah. And they were on the ground. And for a brief moment, Matt Milano was down for like an extra beat. You know what I mean? They all kind of got up a little slow. He stayed down. Everybody goes over to him. He gets up. He's like, I'm good. And he goes over to the next rep. But those are the things that happen in camp. You're like, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. What is happening at linebacker?
So here's the other one. I think this isn't going to go over well with people who are like, oh, yeah, you know, I think we have a good old-fashioned battle at backup middle linebacker. Baylen Spector and Joe Andreessen. Mm-hmm. And, again, this is about health. It's about availability. I'll be the first person to tell you, I think Joe Andreessen should be the backup middle linebacker because Baylen Spector can't be reliable to stay on the field. Mm-hmm. But when Baylen Spector has been healthy, we've seen the Bills think that he can play that spot and do the job. I still think at the end of the day, if it's close, I think you have to lean towards the guy who's been, you can't take the guy who's had a lot of availability issues. And then the other guy in Andreessen, second year of a undrafted rookie contract versus the, you okay there?
I know, right?
A little gnat there.
My face.
Second year of undrafted rookie contract versus Baylen Spector, who's on the final year of a rookie contract, his fourth year. So I do think we have a battle there. Matt Milano is, I think if this guy stays healthy, which is always a question, right, considering the wear and tear and the games he's missed, I think he could play another 4 or 5 years at a good level. I really do. Like, he's just good. He's just a good football player. He's instinctual. He makes plays. And he gets to the ball where it's supposed to be. When they run toss sweep with Matt Milano on the field, it's like I feel like he's making the play at the line of scrimmage almost every play.
Yeah. Which is something that has always been, you know, talking about how Hyde and Poyer did it for so long. It was about McDermott and how he defensively especially values the intelligence to make the right play, right? Like Dorian Williams has got this freakish athletic profile, but it's about bringing him along and having him make the right decisions. I feel like, Sal, at that position, we're going all the way back to Tremaine Edmonds, who, you know, hey, he's there all the time, but there's just some spots sometimes that are missing.
Agreed. That's not Matt. What is Matt's holdup? He's a little undersized, right? So, you know, maybe if there's a situation where he gets in and he could have a bigger guy in him, but Matt sheds blocks. He understands how to get around tackles. He understands how to get around blocks. His vision is amazing. We talked about that. You heard me with Shelton Bolden. I don't know if you heard me talk about this with Matt Milano and his vision. So last week, I think Joe heard, I don't know if you were on, Jeremy, if we talked about this. But, yeah, last week, and I apologize if I said this again on this show, I watched Matt diagnose a play and get to it, and I said, man, he reminds me of LeSean McCoy navigating through a hole. Mm-hmm. He sees guys where most guys don't see guys.
Yeah.
His vision's amazing. He had to play running back. I see his mom and dad. I've gotten to know them over the years. I'm like, I got a question for you. Ask his dad. Matt played running back when he was younger. He's like, oh, yeah, he was really good. Like, of course, right?
Yeah.
He had to have. Like, his vision is amazing.
He's just doing it on the other side.
Yeah.
Also, very quickly on him, it would be, if he can stay healthy this year and play at the level that we're talking about, wouldn't the best-case scenario be that he plays well enough and is healthy enough that they could they eliminated the year of his contract, right? So this is the final year. But it's $11 million in cap hit next year, and it's $4.8 million the year after that in void years. And I think we had this conversation about Bosa earlier in the offseason. One way that you can make do on that is if the player is good enough, you can extend them, and those void cap hits kind of become, oh, we'll just make it real years into a contract. But he'll be 31, and you'll have a decision.
Okay, right. So that's right. I'm glad you brought this up. So this is a really good technical question I got an answer to a while ago, and I need to kind of revisit the exact like technicalities of this.
Yeah.
When they did that with Matt, I was wondering, I'm like, okay, what happens? Let's just say Matt has a really good year. Because Brandon Bean, we go to the owners' meetings, and I said to Brandon Bean, well, okay, so you got Matt. Like, you put this – what's his void year? What's his –
It's $11 million and 26.
$11
million. And 4.8
as a dead cap hit.
Yeah.
It's a void year. $11 million is a dead cap hit.
Right.
And I say, okay, well, there's no way you can re-sign him then, because what if he plays great and you want to re-sign him? You have a dead cap hit already on the books of 11. They're going to re-sign him for more? What are you talking, $15 million? You're not going to do that. Anyway, we started talking. I asked around how this type of contract works. The answer I got, and I need to dig more into this, is no, if you re-sign him, the void year just pushes out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's almost more beneficial to re-sign him.
Yeah.
Right.
Than it is to keep him on the books on the void year. Like, that got me thinking, oh,
right.
Well, if Matt plays well, Milano,
they'll want to do.
They
something.
Might want to do that because then they actually don't have to take that cap hit for another year
with right. him not being on the team.
Right. Correct,
right, exactly.
And every opportunity to push a cap hit into a following year. I know people act like that can sometimes be, well, you're eventually going to have to pay, but every single year you get more money to play with.
That's right.
So
right.
Exactly, like, it's right. just, it's not irresponsible. I don't think to push cap hits into the future. I think it can actually oftentimes be a smart way to do it. All right, so practice 9:45. We'll see about full pads. Sean McDermott, 9:15 today?
9:15, Sean
okay.
McDermott. Yeah.
So we'll record that and play that back because we expect Joe Brady with us at 9:15 this morning. So we'll talk,
oh, okay.
We'll talk to the Bills offensive coordinator.
For sure. Are you? How did you last? How did you do with the fire alarm?
I was just going to bring that up. I had just fallen asleep like maybe 20 minutes before that, and it was like the loudest noise I've ever heard in my life is the alarm directly over your bed, which is – oh, my God. It was tough. I got back to sleep, like, as soon as it was done. It was, like, a 20-minute, you know, out in the weather. Well, the weather. It was fine. It was nice out. What am I complaining about?
Did it remind you of days back at Syracuse with fire drills?
So, I'm sure Joe will tell you. Have to be honest.
Okay, so, yeah.
You could tell him. You could say it.
Sal wasn't there.
Oh.
I was missing. Interestingly missing when the alarm's going off.
I got there.
Sal
got there.
Strolls up. We're all outside, and here's Sal just strolling up. Like through
what's
the parking
on?
Lot, yeah, like no idea what's going on. Oh,
When I got there, I saw fire alarms. I'm like, yeah. Oh, what happened?
Jeez,
what happened? Hey, we had a nice round of golf yesterday.
Yep.
Right, Joe. It was Matt Bove and Bill Whippert and I. We went over. We played at a round of court. It was great. Mm. And afterwards, we kind of finished at like 8:30, close to 9.
Yep.
So you know, we went out for a nice dinner, and I said, you know what, I'm gonna tap it off and have a little glass of wine before I head back, and I did. And then by the time I kind of came strolling up, took a nice stroll down the parking lot, and I see a bunch of
fire trucks.
Wow. Fire trucks. And I saw these people laughing at me, like, here comes Sam. I'm like, what? Like, this is kind of normal, right? Except for what you guys got going on.
I think
on.
What made it funny is you were walking up, arriving as the fire trucks were arriving.
Exactly. There you go.
I think there were four fire trucks last night. Like they brought out all the stops.
They did.
Make sure, yeah.
I saw them. Actually, saw them whipping down the whatever that road is out here. I'm like, ooh, what is going on? And then I realized, oh my god, that's like my dorm.
It was.
Like, I think. Literally. I hope everybody's okay.
Yeah.
Sal Capaccio. All right. Very good. We'll see you on the field today, and you'll be updating throughout the Extra Point Show and all that good stuff. Thanks,
you got
Sal.
It. You got it.
Sal Capaccio here with us from St. John Fisher. Coverage of training camp brought to you by Fiegel Carr and Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? By Connors and Ferris, your workers' comp attorneys, and driven by your Upstate Honda dealers. For great deals on the entire Honda lineup, visit your Upstate Honda dealer today. Coming up top of the hour, Pat Harris is going to join us. He's the lead director of Hard Knocks. So we're going to talk to him about the process, all that, you know, maybe what they look for, get a sneak peek kind of behind the scenes from the lead director. He's a Rochester native, played his football at Penfield, quarterback at Penfield. So he's coming up at 8, Carl Jones 8:30, Joe Brady 9:15. All coming up here from St. John Fisher on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.